From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In just a few minutes, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he approaches the conclusion of this series of studies in the Epistle to the Colossians, Dr. Cairns is addressing the subject of living in the experience of God's power. The text is verse 29, where Paul says, "Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." Paul is speaking there of his labors to produce fully mature Christians. As Dr. Cairns has been emphasizing, New Testament Christianity was real because God was at work. Since neither God nor the gospel has changed, God's people can experience the power of God working in them and then working through them as they touch others for Christ. Paul has made it clear that Christians are energized by the Holy Spirit. Unsaved people are energized by the devil, which is the explanation for the chaotic state of the world in this day. Yet sinners can come to know the transforming power of Christ through the gospel. Salvation is the first experience of the power of God. And here is the secret of facing life with confidence, for God's purposes for his people will be fulfilled. Dr. Cairns will conclude this portion of the message in just a few minutes. First, here is a devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the writings of C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Covenant Reaches Children. The text is Genesis chapter 17 and verse 7. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. O Lord, thou hast made a covenant with me, thy servant, in Christ Jesus my Lord. And now I beseech thee, let my children be included in its gracious provisions. Permit me to believe this promise as made to me as well as to Abraham. I know that my children are born in sin and shapen in iniquity, even as those of other men. Therefore I ask nothing on the ground of their birth, for well I know that that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and nothing more. Lord, make them to be born under thy covenant of grace by thy Holy Spirit. I pray for my descendants throughout all generations. Be thou their God, as thou art mine. My highest honor is that thou hast permitted me to serve thee. May my offspring serve thee in all years to come. O God of Abraham, be the God of his Isaac. O God of Hannah, accept her Samuel. If, Lord, thou hast favored me in my family, I pray thee remember other households of thy people which remain unblessed. Be the God of all the families of Israel. Let not one of those who fear thy name be tried with a godless and wicked household. For thy Son Jesus Christ's sake, amen.
Amen.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. Every day we've been receiving letters by mail, by email, and we've been receiving phone calls. Some of you want to say thank you and tell us how much the Lord has blessed His Word to your heart. Some of you have told us of life-changing experiences through the preaching of God's Word. Some of you have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program, such as A New Beginning. This booklet is a plain man's guide to the way of salvation and going on with God. For a free copy of A New Beginning or of any of the other literature we mention, please contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a new feature on the website. During recent months, Dr. Cairns has been receiving questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, are there true prophets in the church today? Or, why does God allow suffering? The LTBS radio website now contains video clips of Dr. Cairns providing answers to these and many other questions. These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
If Christ holds no attraction for you, you're damned. 1 Corinthians 16 makes that absolutely plain and clear. If Christ has no attraction, you're still in the darkness. You've never seen Him. For I tell you, to see Him is to love Him. To see Him. as he really is. It's always the mark of a disciple. What we read in John 20, verse 20. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. It's the mark of a disciple. Give him a glimpse of Christ, and it brings gladness to his heart. They see themselves. They see the beauty of the Savior. Once the Lord enlightens the mind, they see the world for what it really is. They see heaven and hell in their true biblical perspective. And they therefore come to Christ. When the Lord Jesus enters in with light, he also enters in to renew the will, to restore what was lost in Adam. He restores the spiritual sensibility of the fallen sons of Adam. There's a line in that hymn, Rescue the Perishing, that causes a great deal of concern to my Calvinistic brethren. And as a Calvinist, I'm always happy to sing it. Well, let me modify that. I'm always happy to make a noise while other people sing it. But anyway, down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. And the strong Calvinist thinks that that is saying that in the unsaved man there is some dormant principle of goodness and godliness. I don't think that's what Fanny Crosby was saying at all. I think that she was a better theologian than they are, at least at this point. And I think she's going right back to what happened in Adam. And there were feelings then, there were spiritual sensibilities that were crushed and broken and buried as dead. That's how we come into the world. There's no divine spark. But we're still human. We're still God's creatures, made in his image, however defaced that image has become because of sin. And by a mighty act of divine power, God reaches in when he saves a soul. He that is stronger than the strong man comes to that soul, defeats the devil, and he renews that sinner, as Colossians 3:10 and Ephesians 4:24 teaches, renews that sinner in knowledge, in righteousness, and in true holiness, reinstating him into the state where he now knows God and is able to enjoy God forever. You see, it takes a miracle to enable a sinner like you or me to enjoy God. Do you realize that to take an unconverted sinner and put him in heaven would be to put him in the middle of misery? Do you ever stop to think of that? You take an unconverted, ungodly man, a man who has no love for God or for Christ, put him in heaven where he's surrounded by the praise of Jehovah 24 hours a day. Man, it would drive him crazy. He can't enjoy God. Why? Because those cords were broken. Those sensibilities were crushed. They were killed off. They were buried in Adam. But thank God, when Jesus comes, he does a great work of renewal. Renewing, renovating the will, as the theologians put it. And restoring. And now we can enjoy God. There is that capability of genuine fellowship with God. What was it that man lost when he fell? It was fellowship with God. He was put out of the garden. There was a distance, an alienation. What happens when Christ enters in? He spans the gulf and he brings the sinner close to God. What did the Lord Jesus say in John 17? This is life eternal. This is his definition of life. That they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. This ability to know God in personal fellowship and relationship is the very essence of eternal life. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3, speaking again in the general context of knowing and experiencing God and His Son, he says, "And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." This is what happens when the power of God enters in. You know, there's not a religion in the world can do that for you. There's not a denomination in the world can do that for you. There's not a church anywhere can do it. You can join this church and go to hell. You can get baptized and go straight from the baptismal tank, font, river, or ocean, whatever you want to make it, and perish in hell. You can come to the Lord's table and go straight from that table, according to the Epistle of Jude, to the outer darkness of hell. It takes divine power. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is not a decision. I am sick and tired of the vile Arminian theology that has taken over the minds of preachers and churches on every hand. And behind most of what is going on today, there is the notion that it all comes down to how well we can persuade. That's why the church is in the marketing business. That's why the church is in the business of psychology instead of theology. We have got to the place in churches, and there are churches of every stripe and kind, professedly Reformed churches as well as Arminian churches. They are all Arminian in this. It comes down to this one basic heresy, that the salvation of souls depends on what you do, how well you do it, how skillful you are at your job, or what they do. Now, don't misunderstand me. I believe that God uses instruments and we give our best in the service of Christ. But let me tell you, salvation is of the Lord. And if He doesn't do the saving, you can't do the saving. And if the one stronger than the strong man doesn't enter in with power, then the old devil will never be driven out. This is a work of God. What proves it, if I could put it this way, is that every time the Lord Jesus ever met one who was possessed by the devil, there was only one outcome. There's no exception. Every time He ever met a soul possessed with the devil, it was the devil who had to give ground. It was the devil who had to flee. And that's the way the soul was set free. You remember at the foot of the Mount of Transfiguration, the disciples thought they could cast Satan out, but they couldn't. And a poor, distracted father brought his demon-possessed son to the Savior and said, "I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cast him out." Isn't that the story of our church life? Isn't that the story of religion in America today? We're bringing our hard cases to the disciples and they can't do anything about it. What do we need? We need a personal, mighty intervention of the living Christ. For Jesus said, "Bring him to me." And immediately the devil gave ground. Even in the case of the man possessed with the legion of demons, whether you press the word legion to its ultimate conclusion or not, it means a whole lot of them. A Roman legion could number 6,000 men. I'm not sure that we're meant to infer that there were 6,000 demons in this man. But I'll tell you this, it was the worst case of demonism that ever you could imagine. But as soon as the Lord Jesus appeared, the devil gave ground and the devil was defeated. That's salvation. We read a little earlier in our studies in Colossians 1 and verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That's the work of God. A mighty redemption by power. In the Old Testament scriptures, there are two fundamental terms for the act of redeeming. One verb means to redeem by paying the price. The other emphasizes to redeem by the exercise of power. The Lord Jesus Christ has done both. What I'm emphasizing today is that every Christian, if he's a Christian at all, he has experienced God's power working in him in salvation. As I sort of hinted at the beginning, I'm not going to get any further than that today. But that's a good point and a good thought for us to take with us. We will follow it if the Lord leads and wills. We will follow the text through to its conclusion. If you're saved, however, let me give you this as an encouragement for the week to come, for the challenges you're going to face this week, for the years to come. He who has begun a good work in you, he will finish it, he will complete it, he will perfect it unto the day of Jesus Christ. If you have experienced God's power in salvation, he will not cease working until he presents you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Face the devil and the minions of hell and the challenges of life. Face them with confidence. I am a Christian. That means the power of the living God has already begun to energize in me. And if you're not a Christian, you say, "Preacher, I have tried and I have failed, and I've made decisions and they have failed, and I've joined churches and that has failed." Let me tell you, there's only one who's stronger than the strong man. And that's the one you need. But remember what Jesus said. I've quoted his words already concerning the one captivated by Satan. Bring him to me. What an invitation. Bring him to me. If you're here today, ravaged by guilt, defeated by your own depravity, darkened in your heart and soul, and all that lies before you is the darkness of hell, bring it all to Christ. Remember what I said. Never once did Jesus ever give place to the devil in every case. In every case, and that will include yours, he is the conqueror. He is the deliverer. He is the redeemer. He is the savior. And you will experience the working of his power in the salvation of your soul.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.